I appreciate you being here tonight on this Wednesday evening, and I hope that tonight that you will get something out of the message tonight. I want you to turn over to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at a verse tonight. It's just a small verse, but man, what a verse this is. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 26. While you're turning there, I neglected to mention this Sunday night as we gave out the soul winning certificates. But our next class, we've been doing this on Zoom. We've been doing the virtual class, and it's been working out great. And the next class will begin on Tuesday evening, August the 24th. August the 24th. If you would like to register for that, you can go online. Just go to our church website. There's a banner that comes up about the Soul Winners Club. You can click on that banner, and it will take you right to the registration page. And there you can register for the class. And that way I'll know how many people are going to be in the class. And you can register anytime. It's up there now. And I hope you'll take part of that. And man, what a blessing it is. We have had folks being saved. Joyce Lindsay got to lead her first one to Christ the other week. And she got her pin Sunday night, her gold lapel pin. And man, we're excited to see folks getting excited again about being able to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I hope you'll sign up for that and be a part of it. All right. Tonight, I want us to look at something tonight from the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 26. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. I want you to see what this verse says. The Bible here says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Now let me read it one more time. Proverbs 14, 26. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Amen. Boy, that is a great verse tonight. And I hope that you'll get something out of this tonight. Let's pray. And let's ask God to bless the message tonight. All right, Father. Lord, I sure do thank you, God, for the privilege to be able to preach for you again tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for that day so many years ago as an 18-year-old young man that you called me to preach thy word. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, though I resisted and tried to do my own thing, God, thank you for loving me. And thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for just continuing to convict me and to call me and to show me my need to be submissive to your will. And Lord, tonight, I submit myself again to you and ask you, Lord, for your power and for your blessing. I pray, dear God, tonight that you'll be with our pastor there at home. And God, I pray that you'll strengthen him, encourage his heart. Lord, nobody likes to be sick. Nobody wants to be sick. And Lord, it's so frustrating to be sick and not be able to do the things that your heart desires to do. But Father, I pray, God, that you'll be with him tonight. Encourage him, Lord, through the message. I pray, God, that it will speak to his heart and encourage him tonight as well. Bless our people. And Lord, help us, God, to be receptive to the teaching of the Word of God tonight in this Bible study. And we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Now tonight, I want to share something with you. I was looking at this verse today, and I was praying this morning. I was praying yesterday when Pastor texted me about it, yesterday afternoon late. And I just thank the Lord for the Word of God. And I was thinking about some verses, and some things came to my mind. And this morning when I came in early, and I was trying to get this together and get my thoughts together on what he wanted me to preach, and I started out with another passage of Scripture just a couple chapters over in this book. But then it led me back to this chapter, chapter 14. And in this chapter, there are many things here that God is trying to show us about making the right choices and making wise decisions. It talks about there in the very first verse how that every woman, every wise woman, buildeth her house. They don't tear it down, they don't nag and carry on, but they build that house. And look what he said, "But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." And then look at verse 2. He said, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord." And when I read that verse, I thought, man, yeah, that's what we need today. I passed a car while it was in front of me at a stoplight. It had on the back sticker on there, it had no fear. No fear. But I'm going to tell you something. One day they're going to have some fear. When death grips hold of their soul and starts to yank them down into the flames of hell, they're going to have some fear then. They don't fear God. They don't fear authority. They don't fear anything, it seems like, in our world today. But folks, we need some fear in our hearts and in our lives, especially if we're Christians. Now, if you look up that word fear in the dictionary, you're going to find several different kinds of definitions for that word, and you're going to find different meanings about what it really means. I want to share a couple of those with you tonight. A couple of those definitions include fear, an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Every time my wife sees a frog, she gets fearful, okay? She is afraid of it. There can be a bug in the house, okay? And there's a sense of danger in her voice when she cries out her favorite husband's name and says, "Come kill this thing." And it's only about that big. You know, all she's got to do is step on it, but she's barefooted. She doesn't like to do that. You know, unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Another definition said anxious concern, a sense of danger or reason for alarm. All of these are definitions of the word fear. But in verse 26, that is not the definition that God is speaking of here. The definition of the word here, the definition that applies to that word found here in our scripture text tonight is this. It is a profound reverence and awe, especially toward God. Now, that was in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Yep. I looked it up today, and I thought, man, that dictionary will preach. Amen. That will preach right there. This is not a fear that produces an unpleasant or often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. It's not a fear that produces anxious concern or a sense of danger or reason for alarm. But this word fear, the fear of the Lord spoken of here in Proverbs 14:26, is a reverential awe of God and of who He is and of what He is and of what He demonstrates all throughout the world that we see in the heavens, how the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. All these places are mentioned about that reverence, that awesome reverence of God. The Bible tells us also about the fear of the Lord. And it speaks very often, especially here in the book of Proverbs, it speaks about the fear of the Lord. Turn with me just a moment to the book of Proverbs chapter 1. In the very first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. And look at verse number 7. It says there, the fear. Now that word again means the reverential respect. The awe, the wonder. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Boy, we see that in our world today, do we not? They think those of us who fear the Lord and think highly of God, that we're some kind of a dum-dum. We're some kind of an idiot. But you know what? We're not. According to the Word of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And look at it. We see that same type of reverential fear and that inference in several other places throughout the Word of God. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 9. Look again here at Proverbs chapter 9. In Proverbs chapter 9, Solomon again, and this just thrills my soul to think that the hand of God upon the wisest man in the world has ever been, the hand of God was upon him, directing him to write these words. And in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10, look what he writes. He said, the fear, and again, that word fear meaning the reverential respect, the awe, the respect, the wonder of God. The fear of the Lord is not only, as he said in chapter 1, verse 7, the beginning of knowledge, but here he said, it's the beginning of wisdom It's the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Amen. It's the knowledge that is applied in our lives. And look at this. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When we know about God, we realize who He is and what He has done for us. That is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God, it's understanding. We're coming together and knowing what God is all about. Turn again just one chapter over from this book to Proverbs chapter 10. And look in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. And again, we read what Solomon writes here. He said, the fear, that reverential trust, that reverential respect, that wonder of the Lord, the fear of the Lord prolongeth, it lengthened, it increases, it prolongeth days. But look what he said. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You want to live for God? You want to live a prosperous life in this world? Live for God. Acquire a fear of the Lord, as the Bible speaks of. In other words, when you have the spiritual attitude that King David had and he wrote of over in the book of Psalm chapter 118 verse 6, you're going to understand that you're not going to end up with some ulcer because you're worried about everything going on around you. You're going to give those things to God, and God is going to take care of it. Look at it with me here in the book of Psalm chapter 118. In Psalm chapter 118 verse number 6, out of a reverential trust in the Lord God of his salvation, the psalmist David, the young shepherd boy, now become king of Israel. Think about that. God's chosen people. And God placed this shepherd boy as a king over those people. And here he writes these words. He said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Now that word fear means I'll not be afraid. I'll not be frightened. I'll not be alarmed about any of those things around me. He said, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? He said, hey, you kill me, I'm going to be with God. Amen. Paul wrote about that. He said, to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. It's gain. And look what he said. He said, what can man do unto me? And the writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews says, over in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, he writes this. He said, let your conversation, and that word conversation is literally referring to our normal way of living, our manner of living, our manner of conducting ourselves in life every day. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness. You're not searching for everything that you want. You're not looking at what your neighbor has and wanting what they've got, and you're never satisfied. He said, let not your way of living, your conversation, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content. That means to be happy, be satisfied, be pleased with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. And you know what? If we will fear the Lord in the right way, we will not fear man when he comes to do things against us. We will not fear to do that which God has saved us and called us to do. So these men knew what it meant. They knew what it meant to have a reverential fear, to have an awesome respect and understanding of who God is and what God wants to do in their lives and how he preserves his own. He preserves us in this mere mortal period of time that we call life. He preserves us. He prolongs our days, and he enables us to serve him in the way that he wants us to do it. But we've got to understand what fear really is and what he's referring to here. You know, I want you to think about it tonight. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Thank God that we can fear the Lord. Thank God that we can have an awesome love and respect for the Lord. We can have a respect for him that causes us to live differently than we did before we got saved. Amen? We don't get saved and then just live any old way. But now that we are saved, we live in such a way that God knows that he can use us. And that God sees how we are trying to serve him and live for him and do what he wants us to do. Now, I want you to look here at this verse again. We see in this verse, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. As we see in our scripture text this evening from verse 26, he said, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You know what? Confidence is something that many of our people in America don't have anymore. They don't have it in leadership. They don't have it in government. They don't have it in anything around, it seems like. They don't have confidence about jobs. They don't have confidence about family. They don't have confidence in anything anymore. But the Bible said here, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Now I want you to go down just one verse from that. Chapter 14, verse 27. And look at what it said. Solomon writes, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You say, but what in the world does that mean, preacher? What in the world is he saying? Well, simply put, it means that we can trust the Lord as our Savior, and we can trust him as our deliverer, and we're looking unto him as the one who keeps us safe from all harm and from any of the fiery darts that Pastor Aaron was preaching about Sunday night. He was preaching about those fiery darts that Satan can throw at us. He'll hurl at us. And that fear, that reverential respect, that awesome wonder of God and what he truly is in our lives, it becomes an ever-flowing, ever-springing up fountain of living water. And we just get a dose of the can't help it, and we got to tell everybody we see about it. You know, living water, a fountain of life, it says. Something that's continually flowing. That's what God wants our lives to be, folks. He wants us to be a continual fountain of life, bringing life to those who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. And he causes us to depart from, to turn away from the snares of death. You know what a snare is, don't you? It's a trap. It's a trap. Sometimes they will lay snares out to catch rabbits or little foxes and things like that, or getting in the hen house and the chicken house. I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, and I was sick at Christmas, and we'd made some gifts for all of our neighbors. My wife took them around for me, but he wasn't there. And I found that gift the other night downstairs, and I took it to him. I said, Merry Christmas to you. It's 6 months later, but I just wanted to make sure you got this. And it gave us a good opportunity just to witness to him. And he was talking about how the foxes and things had already gotten all of his chickens except for one. And that chicken right now, man, it looks like it's a good sized one. It looks like it would fit in a pot real good. But I didn't say that. He had already lost those other chickens and everything else. But you know what? The snares of death are all around us today, folks. And the devil wants to make us think that, buddy, he's got us right where he wants us. But honey, listen, if we live with a fountain of life flowing from our soul, continually flowing, it all comes from that right relationship, that right fear of the Lord that we ought to have. Hallelujah for that. Amen. And I'm thankful that God gives his children such a deep, burning love for him when we understand what the fear of the Lord truly is. The psalmist David said this. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. What a Savior we've got today. And when we have confidence in Him, we can have the right kind of fear that will lead us and guide us away from those things that the devil sets as snares and traps in our life. But then I have to show you this one other verse in Proverbs chapter 19. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. Here the Bible said, the fear. Now, we're talking about the reverential trust, the reverential respect and awe of the true and living God. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide, look at that word, satisfied. Satisfied. That's something that many ladies are not until they get the right color shoe that they really want for that dress. They're just not satisfied. Now, I kid you about that. My wife has many shoes, or had many shoes in her closet until Precious found them. And Precious is a little girl, and she likes ladies' shoes too, okay? But in such a different way, such a different way. But look at what it said. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. And look at the last part of that verse. He shall not be visited with evil. And what that means basically is that this type of respect, this type of honor for the Lord God, it tendeth to, it exhibits an inclination or a tendency, or it's prone to move or to direct someone to develop one's course in a particular direction. Now you think about that. When we have the right fear of the Lord and respect for God, and we see Him for who He really is, it leads us to life. I never will forget thinking to myself as a 15 and a half year old boy, I'm not really that bad. I don't do like the other boys down the street do and wait for their daddies to throw the beer can in the trash, and they go and pull it out and sip out the rest of that beer in that can out of the trash can. Or pick up the cigarette butts that mom or dad throw out in the yard and go out behind the house and try to smoke it. Lord, I don't do that. I'm not really that bad. Surely you wouldn't let me die and go to hell. And the more I heard the preacher preach, the more I understood how holy and how mighty God is, and how wicked I really was, and how I deserved to pay the debt for my sin. But it was like God just swung me over the flames of hell, and I could smell the smoke in my clothes. And it put a reverential awe and fear in my heart for God. And I said, Lord, I don't want to die and go to hell. And it brought me, it directed me, the fear of God set me in the right path so that I could come to know Him as my Savior. And because of that, listen to me, because of that, he that hath that life shall dwell satisfied. Amen. I'm satisfied in Jesus tonight. Amen. And boy, I hope that you are too. In other words, when you have a godly and righteous respect, and when we see the need to have a reverential fear of the Lord God, as the Bible says we ought to have within our hearts, then that fear will lead you, that respect for God, that awesome wonder of the God who reached further down than you could ever reach up, that fear will lead you in the right direction, both physically, spiritually, and even socially in this old wicked world. You won't want to hang around that old crowd anymore. You don't want to do the things that you used to do anymore. Listen, when I got saved, God didn't make me perfect, but He sure did change my wonder. Amen? And I don't want to do the things that I used to do anymore. And the Bible said here that it tendeth to life. And folks, look at what God does when we simply trust Him and we honor Him and we respect Him as we should. The rest of that verse is, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Let me ask you, how many people do you know today in this life that are truly living a satisfied life. Very few people, aren't they? Boy, they got to have something bigger. Got to have something better. All the time. All the time. And it seems like today folks everywhere are simply living to buy bigger toys and going in deeper debt to do it. But folks, listen to me. When the fear of the Lord gets you in the right direction and your heart is set on serving Him, man, you abide satisfied. Satisfied to know my sins have been forgiven. Satisfied to know that I don't need the old things of this old world to bring joy and peace and satisfaction to my life, because I've got a well of living water. I've got a fountain of life that's springing up, and it's giving me the satisfaction that I really need to have. And in this verse, we see this. Now, I want you to understand tonight, when God passed over the land of Egypt, go back in those days of the book of Exodus. And when God passed over the land of Egypt that dreadful night, and He's told them, He reassured His people there in Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. He said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." He wanted His people to know who He was and to have a reverential fear of Him, to understand, to respect Him for who He really was. And He said, "The blood shall be a token upon the houses where you are." You remember what God had them do? He had them take a lamb. Every household took a lamb. And they killed that lamb, and they took the blood, and they applied it to the doorposts and the lintels of the house. And God said here, He said, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Don't you imagine those poor Jews that night developed an awesome respect and fear for the Lord God? Amen. Because they knew that death was coming, but God had supplied the means for them to not worry about death. Amen. And you know what? That satisfies my heart today to know that I don't have to worry about that now, because God said, "When I see the blood and it's been applied, I will pass over you." Amen. Child of God, listen tonight. God is in control. No matter what the news says, no matter what the politicians say, no matter what you see in the world today, God has a plan and He is working that plan. Amen. And God is in control. And what a great truth we see here tonight in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. This one little verse, and it says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." Amen. That ought to make you want to just shout for joy tonight. Amen. And just praise the name of God. Now, I want to share with you tonight just a few great truths about living in the fear of the Lord. Now, if Oprah Winfrey or somebody was to hear that, they'd say, "I told you God was a mean God." No, that's not what it means at all. But folks, you and I today, as born again children of God, when we look around our world tonight and we see all the things that are happening, it is a fearful. It does bring fear and intimidation into one's life. Yes. But we know the plan that God has. And we know that all that is happening today is going according to what God said would happen. He said, "All these things must come to pass." So what we need to do today is not live in fear and intimidation by what we see, but we need to learn to live in the fear, the respect, the reverence for, the respect of the God who has saved us. and has this plan set up for us. There are three things I want to show you in this little verse tonight. I want you to see this tonight. I think it'll be a help to you. Number one, look at it. Living in the fear of the Lord. Number one, I want you to see the fear of the Lord. Verse 26, the first part. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26a. We read here, the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is. God wants us to understand here. He wants us what he wants us to have is not an unpleasant feeling of danger, okay? He does not want us to have a strong emotion of anxious concern, but he wants us to have a profound reverence and an attitude of trust that we place in him when we see these things going on around us. He wants us to live in the fear of the Lord, the respect of God. You see, the fear of the Lord that Solomon writes about here is such a reverence and awe toward God that we as his dear children, we can't simply just do anything else but praise the Lord for this situation that comes in our life. When God allows the things that bring fear and terror and horror into the hearts and the lives of the people in this world, listen, it does scare us, but we know who is in control. And we must live in the fear of the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, dear child of God, are you truly living in the fear of the Lord tonight? Are you truly living in the fear of the Lord? Or are you living in the fear of the situations and circumstances around you? That's where a lot of people are tonight. They're afraid to go out. Man, we knock on the door and somebody comes to the door and sees we don't have a mask on. And man, they just crack the door a little bit and they look through and say, "What do you want? We're just here to invite you to church." We try to hand them a gospel tract through the crack in the door and try to just get the word of God to them, and they're fearful for their lives. Yes. Folks, listen, everybody around us today is living in fear, but the fear of the Lord that God wants you and me to have in our hearts and our lives as dear children is one of love and respect for God and for what he wants to do in our lives. And we need to have a reverence for that God that has saved us and brought us out of that worldly fear. We need to have a reverence and fear for him. In other words, you and I need to be living in the proper fear of the Lord. We need to be living a grateful life unto the Lord God today. That means that we're going to honor his word in all that we do. You see people today, and they make fun, they mock the word of God. They make fun of it today. They call you a fool for trusting that old antiquated book you call the Bible. But you know what? It means that we're going to honor his word in all that we do. It means that we should choose to stand even when others choose to fall or run away. Amen. And stop living for the God who they say has saved them. It means that we will choose to be faithful when others choose to be fickle. We need to be faithful, not fickle. We don't need to be changing our mind about everything, get into the Bible of the Month Club and all those things. Listen, we don't need to do that. We need to learn to be faithful. Faithful in our prayer life with God. Listen, what do you do when you get afraid? You take it to God. Amen? You take those fears to him. Listen, we need to be found faithful in our prayer life with the Lord. We need to be faithful in our love life for the Lord. Listen, when the world says God's not real, you stand and look at him and say, "Oh, yes, he is. He's real, and he lives right here within my heart." We need to be faithful in our love life with the Lord. We need to be faithful in our desire to be in the house of the Lord each and every time we have the opportunity to do so. Listen, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" But folks, there are people today that said, man, I don't want to go to church. I'm liable to get something. Yeah, you're liable to get salvation. That's what you're liable to get, amen? If you go to the right one, amen, you got to go to the right one to do that. But listen, we need to be found faithful in telling others about our love for God as well as God's love for them. God loves these people. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how shall they hear without a preacher or declarer of the gospel? How are they going to know what God wants them to know unless you and I speak with lips of love and tell them about God's great love for them? Living in the fear of the Lord will change a person's life forever. Amen? It will change our lives forever. And living in the Lord and the fear of the Lord, it will produce a godly respect and a reverence for the Lord in the life of any and every truly born again child of God who is grateful within their heart for what God has done for them. But secondly, living in the fear of the Lord produces a strong confidence in the Lord. Let me ask you something today, folks. Where is your confidence today? Where is your confidence? Are you trusting in the government to get you another stimulus check? That they'll probably tax this time. Probably about 50%. But look at the second part of this verse in verse 26. Proverbs 14:26. He said, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That word confidence, it literally means the faith or strong belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. That's what our God does, amen? We can have confidence in what He does. It's the quality or the state of being certain and sure. It is a relation of trust and intimacy and is a reliance in another's discretion, in another's choice, or in another's judgment. In other words, when we have confidence in the Lord, we do not place our trust in the flesh or in the things of this world, but we place our faith, our trust, our reverential fear and respect in the one who can take care of those needs. Amen? And we have a confidence, a strong confidence in the Lord. It's a certitude in knowing that everything is all right in my Father's house. Amen. God has a plan and He is working that plan. The Apostle Paul put it this way to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And in that passage of Scripture that we all know so well, the Apostle Paul again wrote in Romans chapter 8. Listen to what he said. Verses 31 through 39. We have part of this verse as our theme verse for our Conquerors Sunday School class. And Paul wrote here, he said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, I believe he had a strong confidence in the Lord, don't you? Amen. Amen. And listen, when we have a fear of the Lord, we have a strong confidence in the Lord. But then third, we see this. The last part of that verse says, let me just read it all together. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Now, buddy, if that doesn't thrill your heart tonight, I don't know what will. We've got a place of refuge. That phrase, a place of refuge, that should bring joy to the heart of every born-again child of God. We've got a place to go to. We've got a place that we can take our heavy burdens tonight. Listen, if we did not have a place to go tonight to take these burdens that are listed on this prayer list, you look at all that multitude of names on there. Where else could we go but to the Lord? We have a place of refuge tonight. Amen. We have someone that we can take this to. And look what he said. God told Solomon to write these words of encouragement and strength and to let his children know that there is a place of refuge. There's a place that we can go to. As I was preparing this point here, I was looking at this and studying on this verse, and a song came to my mind. And this song I sing a lot of times when we go over to the rest home. And as a matter of fact, this coming Sunday, we start the rest home ministry back up over at Longview. So be praying about that for us. But the song is entitled, Stand By Me. I don't know if you know the words to it or not, but I love this old song. It was written back in 1905 by an old black preacher named Charles Tenley. And he loved the Lord. And he had been looking at a Bible verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 2, that said this. He said, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Amen. And but when he got to reading that, he thought about that place of refuge that God had given unto him. Now listen to the words of this song. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm just going to read it to you, okay? I could, but I'm not. Amen. It said, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Now he's talking to God. He's speaking unto the Lord. And he said, Lord, when the storms of this old life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. I believe he had some confidence in God, don't you? Listen to the second verse. He said, in the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the hosts of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. Amen. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved old Paul and Silas, stand by me. His last verse said this, when I'm growing old and feeble, honey, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, oh, thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Think about it, child of God. Think about it. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. That place of refuge, it's a place of shelter. It's a place of protection from danger and distress. It's a place where God's dear children can run and hide in and find sweet rest. It's a place of security. It's a place of solace and a place of sanctuary from the Lord. And when we come into the sanctuary here of the Lord, we have a place of refuge. Oh, what a term. Listen, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Look at that. That term, his children, it shows a relationship. He is our Heavenly Father, and he's not going to let anything happen to his children. It shows a relationship. It shows great love, and it shows great care. And look what he promises. He said, shall have. That term is a fact that cannot be altered or changed. Amen. It shall have. We shall have a place of refuge. It's a promise that cannot be broken. And it's a sure hope that cannot be denied. Amen. And look at the last phrase. He said, they shall have a place of refuge. Folks, that tonight is the reality of our hope. And verse 27 explains that reality of hope tonight. Look what he said. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. What a verse. Just a small verse. Right here in the midst of the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom tonight, God gives us some things that we can know, that we can live in the right kind of fear. We can have strong confidence in the Lord, and we shall have a place of refuge tonight. Child of God, don't forget just how much the Lord God loves you and how much he cares for you tonight. And folks, listen to me. If God is willing to give us this verse that's packed with facts and promises, he'll never leave you nor forsake you when you go through those problems. He'll be there with you. Let's pray tonight. Father, Lord, I love you. And I thank you, God, so much tonight for the precious Word of God. What a powerful little verse it is here in this book. And Lord, when I read that, I could not get away from it, Lord. God, thank you for being that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God, thank you for giving us strong confidence in you. And a fear that's reverential, that earns our trust in you. Lord, I'm thankful, God, tonight that we can trust you. And Lord, that we have a place of refuge tonight in you. And Lord, I pray, God, if there's anybody here tonight that's going through a time, a battle in their life, they're not sure about what to do. They don't know for sure which way to turn. Lord, they've let themselves down. They've let others down, perhaps. Lord, they're thinking to themselves, God, what use am I to anyone today? God, we have a strong place that we can go. Lord, we can go to you. We have a Savior that cares for us. And God, I want to thank you for that tonight. Help them, Lord, to see that need tonight for having a reverential fear for you so that they can have a strong confidence in you. And Lord, how they realize they can have a place of refuge in the time of storm. God, I pray, Lord, if there be anybody here that's lost, maybe even watching on the internet tonight that's lost and don't know you as their Savior, God, help them to see, Lord, you are what they're looking for today. It's not the liquor bottle, it's not the drugs, it's not the booze, it's not the things in this old world, but God, it's a Savior that they need, and you are that place of refuge. God, help them to come to you tonight and be saved before it's eternally too late. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.